Well, hello, listeners. This is Grace on a Tree, and I'm Jamie L. Happy New Year, everybody out there. I know it's March and not January, but Happy New Year, all the listeners out there. Oh, man. And here we are in 2024. It came super, super fast. It's crazy to think that we're in March already, guys. But I'm coming on here again with another... kind of, it's a teaching, but it's gonna kind of be I may probably break it up into two parts. Definitely, guys, keep praying for me. I always have the intention that I'm gonna continue to come on here and do a couple more episodes, but you know, unfortunately, life be lifing, and you know, I want to definitely try to make time to do it, because I still have lots of other episodes that I have written down that I just need to literally just record. Like, that's it. So if you guys can continue to keep praying for me out there, God bless you guys, all the people that continue to still listen to the messages, podcast episodes, and messages I've wrote down. I always say, guys, if you want you need prayer requests, or you have a praise, or just a question in general about the Bible, you can log on to the Anchor app. Well, it's not Anchor anymore. It's called Spotify now. So you'll go to Spotify for podcasters, and then you'll just look for my name, Grace on the Tree, and you can leave me a message that way. And I actually want to just give out my socials as well, you know, like, there's people out there that wants to grow in the Lord and that has listened to the messages I recorded and probably just have a lot of questions. So you can definitely reach me on Instagram. My username is JMYL_favored, and that's FAVORD. So the J in the beginning is lowercase, JMYL_FAVORD. Yep, so definitely send me a message on there if you guys have any questions about the word or any messages that I posted, podcast messages. Amen. So guys, yeah, let's go have a word of prayer and let's get started. Let's have a word of prayer. I'm getting a lot better, guys, when it comes to organization and when it comes to this. So I thank you for always bearing with me. Here we go. Okay. Father in heaven, I just give you praise, honor, and glory for waking me up this day, Lord God, for your glorious riches in heaven, Lord God, that you rain down on us, Father God. Lord God, I just pray, Spirit of God, that you would go before me as I speak this word, Lord God. I pray that you would touch the hearts of the listeners out there that are hearing your word, that you would help them to get out of this message what you desire for them to know, Father God. Lord God, I just lift up in prayer every listener out there, Lord God, that's desiring to know you, that's desiring to get closer to you, Lord God. I pray that as they're seeking you, Lord God, that they would be found by you, Father God. Your word says that if you seek me, then you will be found, Father God. Your word says that you stand at the door and knock, and if any man hears your voice, you'll come in and live with him, Lord God. So I'm praying, Father God, for these people out there, Lord God, praying for their families, Lord God, praying for their health, Father God, praying that you'll bless them in a way they've never been blessed, Father God. And I'm praying, Father God, that that you just help the people out there, Lord God, to that are maybe Christians already, Lord God, to be encouraged to start their own podcast, Lord God, Lord, or whatever they can, and being able to lead by example in their workplaces with their families, Father God. Especially people that are married, Lord God, you say that that's their ministry. Our ministry is our life that we live for you, Lord God. So I pray that you just help them to lead well and to walk close to you the best way they can in obedience, Father God. Thank you for this word. And I pray that, Lord God, that for the ones that are sick, Father God, the ones that are shut in, Lord God, the people that are don't have the time and the time and to be able to really spend with you, Lord God. We pray that you'll make space, Lord God, clear out their schedule, help them to make space for you, Lord God, because we put you first, everything else lines into place, Lord. Just give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' mighty holy name. Amen. All right, listeners. Okay, so I mean, it's a couple messages. I was just flipping through my book a little while ago. It's a couple of messages that I've been wanting to talk about. I don't really have a title yet, but I want to talk about the devil. And I know people probably like, the devil? Like, what do you want to talk about him for? What do you want to give him attention for? But I want to talk about him specifically because I believe a lot of men and women of God don't really understand. Like, they'll say, like I said, you know, like, giving him attention. It's not really about giving him attention. It's about knowing him, okay? We need to know God, right, in all fullness with the scriptures, knowing his character. But we also have to know our enemy's character well, too, you know? So I want to just start, we'll kind of briefly go into Genesis a little bit. But, the reason why this is, like, you know, I always say, you know, I'm always inspired to do a message by the ones that I feel that God is placing on my heart to do the most. And then whatever's in my book, the ones that I've already recorded and written down, then I do those, which I am going to do those too, by the way. But this is very, very important topic to talk about because, like, our devil, we know, you know, the devil is after us. If you listen to, like, past podcasts, the devil hates us. He's after us. He doesn't want us to know who God is. He doesn't want us to live, you know, true life, everlasting life for the Lord. And I was having a conversation with someone, and who was a Christian, and we were talking about, you know, God and everything like that. And I just feel like I'm not trying to, you know, place blame on this Christian woman, but it just reminded me, because I see it a lot too, like on social media, and some posts, Christian posts, like we have to know the devil. You know, guys, like, we really do. We have to know his character. We know God's character is love. The devil's character is fear, you know, and that's what the devil has been doing from the beginning. You know, I've been saved, what, for 6 years now. I accepted Jesus, rather rededicated Jesus back into my life in 2018. So I've been walking with the Lord for 6 years now. And what I've been finding and growing and learning is that, you know, my walk with Jesus is different, a lot different than when it was in the beginning. And the reason why I say that is because, I mean, it's the same God, it's the same scriptures, but I mean, just the level of intimacy is different. So, you know, God, the Bible says that God writes the words of his, writes the words on our hearts and our minds, you know, and it is, you know, the word of God's on our hearts and our mind. But as we go through life, you know, God will make the scriptures come alive, because it's so much easier to talk about the word. It's so much easier to write about the word, but are we living it out? Do we really believe it? And that's what I mean when I say that, like, these past 6 years, God has really been helping me live out what the scriptures really are. And every time there's a scripture or something that I, you know, take to the Lord's throne and I pray about, he brings that situation alive in my life, and he always show that his word is powerful, that his word is truth. And I'm thinking about John 17. Is it John 17:7? Let's go to that scripture right now. You guys have your Bibles? We're going to be in John 17, 7. Because I can speak about it, but I can't. I got to make sure that the word, that I'm looking at the word and it backs up what I'm saying, guys. And definitely make sure you do that. You know, that's very, very important. People can, you know, have good intentions and share the word with you, whether it's online or in church. But make sure you always look at the word yourself. Okay, because the Bible tells us that we should study to show ourselves approved, you know. That's important. So we can't show ourselves approved if we don't know God. Okay. But we also need to know our enemy too. And that's what I'm getting at as well. So John 17, 7, I believe. Let's go down. Oh, this is Jesus's, John 17, 17. This is Jesus's prayer to... this whole chapter is Jesus' prayer to us, pretty much to God, to God, prayer for us. So it says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself that they also may be sanctified in truth. So we have to know the word of God. That's so important to know the word of God. So when I say my intimacy level has deepened because God has allowed these situations in my life so that his word can come alive. And my faith has grown so much in these past 6 years because I'm just like, God, you know, you are real. You are alive. You are showing yourself powerfully to me. You know what I mean? And it's just amazing, guys. It really is. You know, God loves us so much. He'll never leave us. And he just keeps on coming through for us. You know, and it makes me emotional. And maybe it's the spirit of God again, because I know I tend to do that on here. But he really is for us. He really does love us. So when I say, like, the spirit of God, you know, or the spirit of God is the same God, flowing from the same glory, and it's the same word, but it deepens as we go along, just like in a relationship with a friend or, you know, a romantic partner or whatever. You know, we have to spend time getting to know that person's character, what they're about. And then after they say whatever they, and then we have to watch how they move to line up with what they're saying. And as we do that, we grow in deeper intimacy. And it's the same way with God. You know, he comes through for us. He gives us what we need. He delays the things that we need, or the things that we want. He gives us what we need, but he delays the things that we want. Because for plenty of reasons, we're not ready for it. It's not good for us. But he just has our best interests at heart. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you is plans of good and not of evil, plans to give you hope and a future. So God's love for us, his love for us and his care for us is so deep, just like a loving father, you know. And let's go on into Genesis. Wait a minute, I was going to add something else on what I was just saying, but I know I can go on and on about that, but he really does. But like I was saying, just as important as it is to know, just as important it is to know who God is, you know, that's the main thing that it should matter and our life should be centered around as men and women of God is God's word. Because it's just vital in every way, right? That's what 2 Timothy, or is it, 1 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, it says all teaching is good for correcting, rebuking, and training in righteousness, right? So we need to know the word because it's vital. And it's profitable in every single way. But at the same time, what God has been teaching me in these last few years and showing me is that, you know, Jamie L, you need to learn, you need to know the devil too. Like, you need to, like, you know his tactic. You know how he hates you. You know the word. But now I'm going to show you how he's working in your mind. I'm showing you how he's working in your life. And I don't know if you guys remember. Let me just start in here. Because this is a scripture. So I'm going to, we're in Genesis right now. We're going to just Genesis chapter 3, just the fall. And I just want to, like, kind of highlight before I get into it. I don't know if people are familiar with, but Genesis is such a good chapter to read. Like, it's just so good because it's the beginning of all things, right? It's beginning of God's creation for us, the beginning of, you know, the fall. But I just wanted to come to Genesis chapter 3 and highlight, read over a little bit of this. Genesis chapter 3, and then we'll stop at we'll stop at 13. Okay. It says, now the serpent was more crafty. We're in Genesis chapter 3 verse 1, and we're reading it down to verse 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God actually say you shall not eat of any tree in the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. But God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it unless you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loincloths. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. God said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? The man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. Then the Lord God said to the woman, what is this that you have done? The woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Okay, let's just stop there, because I want to, like, the reason why I'm reading this is because it's important for men and women of God, all people, to really know our enemy, you know? And the reason why it is because we know that, like I said, we know that in scripture what has happened in Genesis, how deceptive the devil is, right? And a lot of people will say, well, yeah, it's Adam and Eve's fault because, you know, they allowed the devil to tempt them. And I would be like, yeah, you know, I would say, yeah, you're right. It's pretty much they made that choice they, you know, went against God's obedience. I mean, they went against what God's commandment was for them, which was to not do that, which was disobedience. And, you know, that's fair. But then we have to ask ourselves, but why was that an opportunity for them to be deceived? Because remember, this was in the Garden of Eden. This was an actual place on earth. You know, there was a serpent that was in the garden, which was not unfamiliar for a garden snake to be in a garden where it's trees and, you know, fruit trees and all of those things. But instead of us saying, okay, well, they made that choice. You know, God put Adam in charge of naming the animals, in charge of, you know, just pretty much the Garden of Eden, and tending it. You know, they didn't have to want from anything because God was right there. But it's so easy for us to look at that and say that, oh, you know, it was Adam and Eve. They allowed the devil to deceive them. And this is what I mean when I say we need to know our enemy, because it's easy for us to say that and not really think about why was that an opportunity in the first place when this was like a perfect, they was living in perfect holiness, right? So then we have to go back, okay, well, the devil was working through this serpent, right? Because the devil was a lead angel. We learned about that in Ezekiel 18. He was a lead angel, and his name was Lucifer. And he also, just like kind of how Adam was super close to God, he was also super close to the Lord. And actually in the Bible, it says that Adam was considered to be the first Adam. And it said that Jesus was the last Adam. So, cause Adam's name is man, and he was the first man to walk on the earth. But then we look at Satan or Lucifer. He was the lead angel. I don't know. I'm guessing that I don't know if he was the first angel that God created, but he was the lead angel. And the connection that I'm trying to make is that Adam was really close to God and Lucifer was really close to God. And both of them disobeyed God. But the difference is that Satan disobeyed God first. And why did Satan do that? Because of pride, because he went against God's obedience and wanted to be like God. Adam, on the other hand, didn't want to be like God. There was no pride. Well, it kind of was pride a little bit, if you think about it, because we go into you know, the Garden of Eden, and I'm going to pull up this scripture now. We go into the Garden of Eden, and we see that Eve sees that the tree is good for food, it's good to make one wise, it says. So let's actually go to that scripture right now. Okay, so we're in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave some to her husband. Okay, so I just want to, we'll go back to verse 6 there, but let's go to this scripture. And let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. It says, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, and the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life, it is not from the Father, but it's from the world." Okay, so we're going to go back to Genesis. Okay, so yeah, let's go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. No, I'm sorry. Don't let's put a thumb, put your thumb there. Let's go to we're going to go to the when Jesus was led into the wilderness. That is Matthew 4, correct? I think Matthew 4, 15. Just a second. Okay, chapter 4, verse 1. And we can start at Matthew chapter 4 verse 3. It says, and the tempter said, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle, which is the high point of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, unless you strike your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you would just fall down and bow to me and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. So what is the connection that I'm making here? Based on 1 John chapter 2 verse 16, we see it says the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and the lust of the eyes, right? And I did a podcast episode all just on based on 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. But I want to talk about it again, because this is why it's important to know our enemy. He did the same thing to Jesus, lust of the flesh. He did the same thing to Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So since Satan was a lead angel, you know, he was super close to God, right? He had to been much more close to God. He had more responsibilities. And while he was an angel, he wasn't a human being, but he was close to God enough that if God created us and we are his most prized creation, you know, God has all the knowledge, all the intellect. You know, like, he's just all knowing. He's literally all knowing, omnipresent. And what I believe is that since Lucifer was close to God, you know, and that it was some, you know, knowledge, understanding that he had about like our nature. So that when we was created, you know, and him going against God and him thinking he was God and wanting to be God, you know, he was cast down to the earth, which is Ezekiel 18 says, and he deceived a third of the angels there, which is crazy. Because they were in a predicament just like Adam and Eve was, like they had everything. They were in alignment, worshiping God, giving him glory. Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb of God. And Adam and Eve was living in peace, enjoying God's creation and obedience in the same way. But Satan was the one who deceived. I mean, was the one who, deceived and was obedient to God, which is the reason why he was cast out of heaven. And then he came to the earth. So what I believe is when he was thrown to the earth, and we know that he chose a snake, to come to tempt and ultimately deceive Eve and Adam. I believe that People say, well, why did Eve allow Satan to tempt her? And, you know, both of them, and, you know, doubt God's goodness when it was just, they're the first two people on earth, right? But I believe, like I said, that Satan had some understanding of our nature and our weaknesses, because he did the same thing to them that he did to Jesus and the flesh, and which was the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. So when Eve was tempted, you know, by that, you know, it is difficult to understand, knowing that, okay, but you were there in God's glory day in and day out, didn't want for nothing, you know. But I believe that Satan had a little knowledge that about human nature, about our our weaknesses in general, which is why he chose those things, you know, because he couldn't have done that to the angels. You know what I mean? I don't know how he chose to manipulate them, but because they're not humans like we are. So I believe that since his close relationship with God, he used that knowledge or that understanding, limited knowledge, understanding when we were created, and use it as perversion, because that's who he is anyway, right? He does the opposite of what God does. He's, you know, comes with the same patterns, and, you know, he just wants to pervert and the word of God. So I believe that's the reason how he was able to tempt Eve and Adam. And of course, you know, God gave Adam and Eve free will, just like he gave Satan for free will. You know, he gives us a choice to make. And unfortunately, our weak human nature became sinful nature after that piece of fruit was eaten. So I don't, you know, it's easy to say that Adam and Eve, it's their fault, they bit the apple. But we have to, like I said, we have to know our enemy. He was deceived. Why was he in the garden in the first place? Because sin began with him, you know? And we see that all that play out after Adam and Eve ate the apple. We see the devil's ultimate sin, how it was spread to us, how it was spread to them, and then it spread all the way down through the human race. Like I said, our weak human nature became sinful nature, you know, which is why ultimately God had to send Jesus. So, you know, knowing that, you know, like I said, in the last few years, God is helping me to see that, you know, how the devil works, how he does the same thing that he did to Jesus, the same thing that he did to Eve, he's doing to me, you know? And I'm seeing that, like, you know, when it comes down to how I respond to things, when it comes down to my personal struggles, I'm seeing that in my mind, like God is allowing me to see. Well, I shouldn't say see, but he's allowing me to be aware of when Satan is attacking me. Have you guys ever had, like, these thoughts that come in your head, and people say they're intrusive thoughts, which I believe is from the devil too, because that's the main way he tempts God's people, is through our minds. But have you ever had those thoughts that just replay over and over and over, and you just like, goodness, the more you think about it, and you think it's coming from you, but it's like the more you think about it, it either provokes some type of emotion, either anger, or it's either sadness, or it's either fear, one of those, right? And it's coming from the devil. And the Lord has been helping me to be aware to see that. I'm just like, wow, like, I cannot believe. Like, for example, you know, I remember last year I had the worst anxiety. Like, it was so bad that I couldn't even leave the house. Like, I was so hypervigilant. I was so paranoid. And just kind of shooken by every little thing. And I didn't understand why. I thought, you know, maybe it's, you know, because I'm not getting enough exercise, or I'm not eating enough of the right foods, or something like that, you know. But another thing that we have to understand is that we are three part beings, just like God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He created us to be three parts. We're spirit, soul, and body. Now, we as men and women of God, you know, we have the Spirit of the living God that lives in our spirit. And how it should be is that it's our spirit, and then it's our soul, and then it's our body. But a lot of times when the devil attacks us through our mind, it ends up being our body, soul, and spirit. You know what I mean? And that's what it means. And that's the same thing it means to walk by the flesh. You know, like, we're walking by the flesh. The Bible says you walk by the flesh, you gratify the desires of the flesh. But if we sow to the spirit, then we'll reap everlasting life. So, and that's in, I believe that is in Ephesians. I'll look up that in a little bit. And then Colossians 3 tells us to keep our minds on things above, not on things on the earth. So if we are being constantly attacked and we're not sowing to our spirit, that we're much more easier targets for the enemy to attack our minds, you know? So I'm just being, you know, sharing a little testimony. So I remember that time, like, I was so busy doing this, that I wasn't spending time with the Lord as I should. And I became so anxious and so, like, you know, just every little thing, you know. And I remember this was last year, you know, because it had been months that I was going through this. I remember laying down and going to sleep, and I don't know if I was half asleep or if it was actually in a dream, but I remember God speaking to me, and he said, he was like, why are you letting the devil put fear into your heart? And he said, I have not given you a spirit of fear. That's all I remember. I don't know if we had another conversation longer than that, but I remember after him saying that to me, I remember, in my heart, I was so sad. And next thing I knew, I woke up that day, the next day, and I was on my way to work, and I just felt different. I felt like I just had strength or something, like, you know, like I was just given more strength, because I wasn't as hypervigilant. I felt much more bolder. And I remember walking out the house, and I had this mindset of, like, you know what, you better be afraid of me. I'm not going to be afraid of you. Better yet, you better be afraid of he who was in me. And I just felt like I was just, like, able to, like, have that grace. Like, God gave me that grace to overcome that. I don't know how long our conversation lasted or what else he said, because I don't remember responding to the Lord, but I do remember I was just sad. Like, I just felt sadness when he said that. And he gave me that strength and that grace. And from that day on, guys, this is true story, I have not had that same type of anxiety again. But I'm saying that because, give me a minute. I'm just getting emotionally overwhelmed, because I'm just so thankful to God. I'm glad that he's alive. I'm glad that his strength has made power in my weaknesses. And I'm glad that he's showing me these things. This is a good thing, right? So from that moment on, you know, I just didn't have the hypervigilance. Like, I still experienced a little anxiety. It's mild, but it wasn't as bad as it was. And that's the kind of God that is on our side. He wants to strengthen us. He wants us to lean on his strength. Now, I'm not saying that that's all like every form of anxiety is from the devil. While I do believe that, you know, people may have to take medication for it, people may have to, you know, go through you know, get some type of man-made care, whatever. I do believe that God graces those people to be able to help us, but it's never have been a long-term situation because the main root of fear of anxiety is fear, you know? But we also have to question and ask ourselves, where does trauma, where does abuse come from? Where does mental illness come from? It didn't come from God. It's because our human nature became sinful nature through the devil, right? And it affected all of God's creation, not just us, even though we're his prized possession. So, you know, like, let me go to this scripture just a second. Okay. Okay, so, because I want to stay on track. I know I can get a little disorganized. I want to pull these scriptures up. So, yeah, praise be to God. Praise be to God that he helped me to overcome that. And like I said, mainly this is how the devil tempts and attacks us, is through our minds, you know. But God had opened up my mind and he helped me to see, like, this is what he's doing to you. Like, these repetitive thoughts that's making you angry, that's making you prideful, that's making you want to eat this that you shouldn't know, this food that you shouldn't be eating, that's making you, you know, sad, even though that situation made you sad. It's not coming from me. It's not coming from yourself. These are things from the devil. That's why it's important, like the Bible says, that we should renew our minds. This is in Romans. Renew our minds by the word of God every single day. You know, because we need to know the word, but we also need to know our enemy. And how we know him is recognizing his tactics, because he doesn't come with any new tactics. He comes with the same thing, which is the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. And I can see that personally right now in my life, where, you know, the devil does not, I'm not giving him any space for my flesh. I'm not giving him any space for my my eyes. Less of the flesh, less of the eyes. But I'm seeing how he's repeatedly trying to put lies in my mind to get me to not be humble. I'm seeing that in a doctor's office recently. I saw that just, you know, a few experiences that I've had, you know, when I was in school. And I was just like, wow. You know, this is 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 is right. You know, devil did the same thing to Jesus in the wilderness. He did the same thing to Adam and Eve. And now I'm seeing, like, the Lord is allowing me to see he's doing the same thing to me right now. So we have to know our enemy. We have to know his tactics. We have to know that, and not just know it, but we have to do the same thing that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 13. We have to speak back the word of God over those things that the devil says to us. It's great to be aware of it, and sometimes I do, but we have to speak the word back to those thoughts right away. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we cast down those imaginations and we bring them into subjection of Jesus Christ. You know, it's good for us to pray the word of God when we're, you know, to pray the word when we're actually in the presence of God. But we have to take God's word and we have to speak back to our problems. We have to speak to the devil for that those problems, and we have to remind him that Jesus, when he went up and he ascended to sit at the right hand of God, that he gave us authority through his word that would extinguish all the fiery darts of the enemy. And that's in Ephesians chapter 6, because that is the only way that we can defeat the enemy. We see that in Genesis chapter 3. We see that Eve was weak to Satan's devices, right? Because of our human nature. Like I said, I believe that he knew a little bit, had a little knowledge about human nature, which is why he chose those tactics to tempt us and ultimately made Adam and Eve fall, and then affected us. And he did the same once he figured out that worked. Maybe, you know, I mean, definitely once he saw how that worked, he did the same thing to Jesus. And now he's after the seed of God, which is us. Because he hates us. He hates Jesus. He's upset that he's not in heaven anymore. Right? We have to know our enemy. We have to know him. His character is fear. God's character is love. The devil's come to kill, steal, and destroy, manipulate our very lives. So knowing him is important. But knowing the word is even much more of importance. Okay? I just wanted to like make sure I say that because, you know, it's not that we give Satan too much credit. Now, while I believe that there are situations where people actually can, like there is men and women of God and people in general that will say, oh, you know, Satan made me stub my toe today, or Satan did. Yeah. And I believe that that can become an idol, because we shouldn't speak of him in that type of way. He does not have power in that kind of way. Not like God does. Right. But at the same time, that can become an idol. That's the difference between knowing him, knowing when he's trying to destroy us. The Bible says that we should stand and be alert, you know, at all times. Let's go to that scripture right now, actually. Stand firm. I can't remember. Here we go. Be watchful, stand firm in faith. Like men of God, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love. Let's see another scripture. It was another scripture that I wanted to go to. I said I was gonna. Just a second. First Peter 5, chapter 5, verse 6 says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 3 says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Now, these two scriptures are the scriptures that I've been having to, like really recite them over and over, because I'm seeing how the devil is trying, like I said recently, to attack me specifically with pride these last like few months or whatever. I'm just seeing a pattern of it, you know? And as soon as I hear that pattern, you know, I'll either speak the word of God, or either I'll just pray to God and I'll be like, absolutely not, Lord God. I pray over this. I'm not going to come into agreement with this lie, Lord God. I know this is not coming from me. This is not coming from you, Lord. Because your word says that, you know, X, Y, Z, whatever that specific situation is, I'll pray over that. And then I'll use the word over that. But it's important to look at scriptures of what it is that, you know, the devil's attacking you, and rereading that every single day. And another thing that I would like, that I think that also helps, is, of course, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, God tells us to put on the armor of God, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, sword of the spirit, belt of truth, the feet ready with the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, breastplate of righteousness. You know, so we have to put on all of these pieces help us in the spiritual world to fight off spirit. Okay, once we know our enemy, when we come through people and we see people, we're much more likely to not react, because we're knowing, okay, the devil has sent this person here on an assignment to destroy me with this particular area, because he knows this is an area that I'm struggling with. That's knowing the enemy. And there's power in that, because we know what the word says. The word says that if we pray to God in our time of weakness, that he'll hear us and he'll grant our petitions. He said that there is no temptation that may come upon man that I am not aware of, but that he, with that temptation, will provide a way of escape out of it. Because he himself has went through those same types of of temptations. He knows the same types of pains. He sympathizes with us, and we have an advocate with the Father that can help us, and that's the Holy Spirit. Amen. And we also have Jesus, who's interceding for us at the right hand of God, just like Jesus interceded for the disciples in John 17 that we just read. So know our enemy. We need to know him. Maybe I'll title it that, since I'm more a simple person, you know, when it comes to know our enemy. Like I said, he's after our very lives. And especially now, you know, we are living right now in the New Testament era times. If we line up biblical times with now, we are exactly in that time period. And we don't know when Jesus is coming back for us. We know he's coming back for us soon. So we have to study to show ourselves approved. We have to know the word of God. We have to stand firm as soldiers in Christ. And continue to grow in the word of truth. You know, Paul, which is our spiritual father, he said that if anybody can say he's close to knowing the word, we would say Paul is. And he was actually quoted as a super apostle, even though he wasn't in the original apostles, because of his faith, because of his faith in God and his obedience to Christ, you know. But he even said in Romans, he said, I don't consider it that I know everything about the scriptures, but I make it my own and I continue to press toward the upward mark of call in Christ Jesus. So we're never going to know all the scriptures, but we need to know our enemy. We need to know the scriptures so that we can fight off the wiles and the attacks from the devil, because he continues over and over and over again. And that's so important to remember. And that's something that I'm seeing now. So while we can say, oh, it's Eve, she and Adam, you know, Adam was in charge of Eve. That's her husband. He disobeyed. But it comes from the devil, because that is how sin entered into the world. So we need to know our enemy. It's a couple other scriptures I want to get into. Let's go to, just give me a second. Hey, that's what I wanted to, I touched on this a little bit in another episode, I know, but that's a good thing. That's the reason why God had to cast Adam and Eve out of the garden. You know, he had to keep them away from the tree of life, because if they went near the tree of life, you know, they would, and ate some of the fruit off the tree. The angels had to guard it with the sword back and forth, because if they ate from that, then they would live forever. And can you imagine us being in sin forever? Like, we would live in our fallen state forever. But God is good. You know, he's a God of grace. He's a God of second chances. You know, his word says that he is patient with us, not that any of us should perish, but that all of us will come to repentance because of his grace, because of his love, because of his sacrifice. You know, so if I leave if I don't leave anything out of this, just know your enemy. You know that the spiritual world is real. Know that our physical bodies, as the Bible says, it'll perish. But as we continue to keep reading the word of truth, that our inner man is being renewed, that our mind is being renewed in the word, and that it is valuable in every single way. You know? And I think that's what the scripture I was thinking to go to was to end it with. Just a second. Okay. Oh no, we did do it. That was 1 Timothy. I think it's Hebrews. Hebrews 4:12. I knew it was chapter 4. Okay, chapter 4, verse 12 of Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the two-edged sword, if you look at Ephesians 6, the Bible also mentions the sword as being one of the armor. And if we go to Revelations, in Revelations, hold on, it says in Revelations that the appearance of Jesus, that he had a sword in his mouth. So it's going to be Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. It says, we're in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16. It says, in his right hand, he held 7 stars. Just in case nobody knows, the 7 stars were the 7 spirits that went to the churches, but that's neither here nor there right now. And it says, from his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. Okay? So if we go back to Hebrews 4:12, that's right. 4:12, it mentions the two-edged sword. So that must be his word, right? So it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing of the soul and of our spirit and of the joints, which is our body, right? Because remember I said in the beginning, we're made of 3 parts like God is made of 3 parts. And that's what God is saying in Hebrews 4. He said, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. He says that his word pierces not just to us spiritually, because the spirit of God is in our spirit, but he said of our soul, of our spirit, and also our joints and marrow, which is our body. And discerning are the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Verse 13 says, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So the word is so powerful. It doesn't just go through our body. It doesn't just go through our soul and heal us and cleanse us. It doesn't just go through our body and help us to learn how to love ourselves. But it also gives our mind peace. It gives our minds, keeps our minds focused on the things of God. One of my favorite scriptures I love to quote is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. That's one of my favorite scriptures, you know? And that's what the word does. It's that powerful. So you can imagine if God is saying that the word pierces through the soul, our spirit, our body, you could be sure that him discerning the thoughts and intentions of our heart, that means God gives us the wisdom. He gives us the knowledge to know his word. And when he gives us that awareness, like he's been giving me the last 2 years of knowing our enemy, we are more able to extinguish all the darts by his word. So you can imagine if we can, you can imagine just how powerful if the word can go through our entire being, that if we speak it out loud, it's just as powerful. Right? This is the same God that used his words to speak the words into, used his saint, used words to speak the world into existence. That same God has given, has went up on high and given us authority through his word to be able to speak those words out into existence to the devil, to our problems. And it extinguishes all the darts of the devil, because apart from God, we cannot defeat the devil. Spirit and flesh cannot defeat the devil, because the devil is also a spirit. Even though he's an evil entity, he's still a spirit. But now in the spirit, since God has the spirit of God, has given us the spirit of God, we can use the spirit that's in us to fight off spirit. And only thing of difference is that we have the light of life through the spirit of God that's fighting against the dark world. So there's no defeatedness. We're overcomers through Jesus Christ. So if I don't encourage you guys with anything, I pray right now that you will know your enemy, that you will use the word, that you will meditate on the word day and night, that you will study to show yourselves approved for the word of God, that you will seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and that with any lies of the devil, that you will bring them into subjection of Christ every moment of the day when you can. I pray this prayer for you guys. And I will be back on here again soon. God bless.